morning, everyone. I'm so sorry. Welcome to worship today at Second Baptist Church. We are delighted to be here with all of you and so honored to be here with all of you that are watching online, wherever you are. Thanks for taking time out of your weekend to be here with us today. Friends, it has been a busy week for all of our children and youth. We had another week of 2B leaders. We're 2 in and we have 3 to go. I see lots of my campers here in the congregation. I hope they got some rest this weekend because we're gearing up for another. And our youth had an excellent week, I've heard, at youth camp with Pastor Jake and Savannah and Jordan. And they're all here and smiling and sitting up too. I know that it was a tiring, wonderful week. And so we're glad that they're all back safely. Today is Communion Sunday and you'll be coming forward for communion. I hope you had a chance to pick up one of your packets to sanitize your hands before you come forward. And there's a bucket on the chairs in the front row for you to dispose of your cups after you take communion. And if you're looking for the gluten-free option, it's this one in the tray, and it has a little square wafer. It's kind of an all-in-one little package. That's your gluten-free option for today. All right, let's just take a moment. Oh, and we have a rover, too. Sorry, I almost forgot, Mark. If for some reason you can't come forward, Andy up here at the front, you just wave Andy down, and he will come to you and bring communion to your seat for you. All right, I think that's everything. Let's just take a moment and prepare ourselves for the worship service today. Take a deep breath with me. The Lord be with you. with me for the call to worship this morning. Praise to God our Creator, source of our being and wellspring of life.
Praise to God our Designer, who sets us free and guides our path.
Praise to God the Word, love made flesh, to dwell among us.
Praise to Jesus Christ, who feeds the hungry and shows us the way.
Praise to God the Spirit, fiery light and rushing wind.
Praise to the Holy Spirit, who serves, confronts, comforts, and sustains us.
Come, let us worship the earth maker, the pain bearer, and the life giver. Let us worship God.
Together. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Amen.
Okay, boys and girls, please come join me at the front for children's time. Come on down. I'm so glad you're here. I needed lots of kids today, so I'm glad you're coming down. Thanks, Ella. Got a spot for all of y'all. How's everybody doing? Yeah? You all had a great week? I had most of you with me all week long. It was so great to have you guys here. I need your help today. We're going to talk about worship. We're going to talk about praise. We just talked about a song, this really cool song we just sang, Hallelujah, Holly, Holly, Holly. It's about praising God, right? And I have some props. I have some things that I need your help with today. I'm going to hand you something. Sarah, I'm going to hand you this. Will you hold this? Thank you. Okay, don't do anything with it until I give it to you, okay? Let's see here. Tucker, can I help? Just hold on to it, okay? Just hold that for a second. Let's see here. Hallie, I'm going to give you this one, okay? Let's see. Anderson, I think you look like this. Would you hold that for me? Don't do anything with it. Hold on to it. Let's see. Eva, I got a prop for you. I got something for Lainey, too. Lainey, you want to hold that? Yeah? You want to hold that? Thank you. Perfect. Good. Okay. Let's see. Eva, you want to hold this one? Okay. What happened to Alexa? I had one special for Alexa. Did you come? Alexa, I need you. Come down here. I had something special for you. I was ready. Alexa, I need you to hold this one for me, will you? Thank you. Okay. Okay. All right. So this, what you're holding in your hand right now, it's perfect, Delaney. You just keep going, is a way to praise God. Okay. The thing that you have in your hand, when I count to three, I want you to show everyone how you are going to praise God. Are you ready? You have to do the thing that's in your hand. Okay, are you ready? One, two, three. Can you do it for me? Do it. Do the thing. You know how to do yours, Hallie? You beat it against you. Let's see. Shake yours, Eva. This was supposed to be a lot louder than that. There you go. Okay, good. Good. Okay. Okay. Oh, I forgot to. I'm so sorry, Ella. Look here. I have something for you too. Shake yours. Let's hear it. Let's hear all, make all the noise. Okay, keep doing your thing. You're not doing yours. That's really important. Okay, good. Okay. Okay, hold it. Okay. So what I wanted to point out to you today, that no matter what you do, whether it's shaking a bell or making a rattle or playing the cymbals or bouncing your basketball to the best of your ability or reading your Bible so diligently or shaking your boom whacker or painting a picture, can you do it to glorify God? Yes, yes, absolutely. We talked about that all week long when you guys were at camp this week. We made all kinds of noise. We made all kinds of crafts, and you guys did them all to the best of your abilities that you could. But one of my favorites, hang on one second, I'm going to ask you to help me read this, Eva. One of my favorites that we didn't do is this word. This word, can you read it, y'all? What does it say? It says, still, sometimes we can praise God by just sitting here so quietly in the quiet and the peace. I will ask you a question in one second. And it's praising God too. And you guys all show us all the time how it is that we can praise the Lord and show God that we love God. Yes, Eva, what were you going to tell us?
Well, sometimes my mom and dad say that I need to show Lainey how to be kind.
Oh, see, and you can show Lainey how to be kind. And that's praising God because it glorifies God by showing your sister how to be kind to others. What a great example for us. Yes. Well, I am so grateful that you guys are here and showing us how to praise and worship God. We can save all of your treasures until after the prayer. Let's pray, and then we'll get ready to go to preschool praise, and we'll put all of our things back in the bag. You want to pray with me, Lainey? Ready? Dear God, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for showing us how to love you. Thank you for allowing us to praise you in all that we do. In your most holy name we pray. Amen. Okay, will you dump your treasures in my purple bag? Put them in. Lainey, will you put your bell in my bag? And the cymbal in my bag? Perfect. The basketball? Yes. All right. Let's go to preschool praise. Come on. Thank you. Thank you. Ready?
Today's psalm reading comes from Psalms 8, 1 through 9. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes, to silence the enemies and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are humans that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The word of God for the people of God.
invite you to join with me in prayer as we were taught together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Stand as we continue to worship.
Today's gospel reading comes from John 16, 12 through 15. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said, he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Friends, what a joy, an honor. It's just a privilege to gather with you for worship. Your presence, your face, your song is a true witness to the resurrected Christ here with us. And I invite you to use those prayer cards as they're available in front of you. If there's any way that we can partner with you in prayer, we would be honored to do so. I want to thank you for your gifts to our church. Spending the weekend or the week with our teenagers at camp, we've got a wonderful youth minister in Savannah and youth intern with Jordan and just fabulous students. And you all paid for us to go to camp, and we thank you for it. And it's your gifts that provide so much of what allows us to have to be leaders. You pay for the kitchen. Your gifts are really, I think, sharing God's love with some young people in our world. And I'm exhausted. And I can't imagine
Pastor Cheryl. So anyways, incredible. We've got more kids at To Be Leaders this year than we've ever had. And a big part of that is your generosity to our church. And we thank you for it. We do. I heard a story about a mother who was anticipating the arrival of her fifth grade daughter, was walked home from school each afternoon. They lived three blocks of from school, and the daughter got to walk home all by herself. And unforecasted, as it was about time for her daughter to begin the short walk home, mother looked up and saw a lightning and thunder, a storm had come in, a small cell, weather cell there. And so the mother was a little concerned about her daughter, and so she hurried out the door thinking, I'm going to try to get down to the school and get there before daughter has to walk home in a thunderstorm all by herself. And lo and behold, about halfway in between the school and their home, this mother and this daughter encountered one another. And the daughter had been walking home for, a block and a half in lightning and thunder and a little bit of rain. And the mother said to her daughter, oh, honey, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean for you to have to walk home in lightning and thunder. And are you okay? I hope you weren't afraid of the storm. And the daughter said, oh, no, Mommy, but God's been taking my picture the whole way home. And we read in Psalm, and thank you to Mason and shared this word of Scripture with us so well. We read in Psalm 8, verse 2, out of the mouths of babes. And it's probably a phrase, a spiritual sort of nugget that you might hear, sort of common vernacular. I think probably in our lives right now, the season of life we're in right now, is we are just constantly in awe of God's voice through our children. We're constantly amazed by the wonderful and terrible things that they say on a daily basis. And so out of the mouths of babes is how this verse 2 starts. And yet then it takes this strange turn. The NRSV sort of, as we've read, sort of preserves more of the strangeness, saying that it is out of the mouths of babes that God has established a bulwark, a foothold, a stronghold against thine enemies. The NRSV or the NIV softens it a little, saying that it is the praise of children that creates a stronghold for God, a mighty fortress against the enemies of the Lord. What does that mean? So I looked it up. I went to a source that I commonly use, particularly for the Hebrew scriptures, and this scholar in Hebrew said that the second half of this verse that I'm struggling with, this bulwark, this stronghold against the enemies of the Lord, established by the voice of children and babe and infant, this scholar said, the construction here in Hebrew is rather unclear. No kidding. I could have told you that. Heard a story of a kiddo in the third grade, a Sunday school class there at the church. Kiddo, we'll just call Jake, maybe a fictional story, of course. The teacher of this class, the 23rd Psalm, had just always spoke to this teacher. It was read at his father's funeral, read at college commencement. He always found himself surrounded with the 23rd Psalm. It became like a life verse, a section of scripture that really spoke to his soul maybe more than any others. And so he wanted to share this gift in scripture with these third graders. And so they spent the whole year in Sunday school class with these kiddos, working through the 23rd Psalm, encouraging the children to memorize it. And certainly there is value Scripture being written on our hearts and on our minds. Andy, there was a kid at camp this past week. He did 90 digits of pi. It was absolutely incredible. I can't remember the lyrics to my own song, The songs that I like the most are being with our students this week. Man, they know all the words to all the songs, and we listened to Taylor Swift from Kerrville all the way to Lubbock on Friday, and so little Jake was struggling, you know, with the memorization of this psalm. So sure enough, came a day in worship where all the children in the third grade class got up and they were all going to recite the 23rd psalm as an act of worship and devotion. And all the way down the line, they all did great until little Jake's turn, who said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And, you know, I think that's all I need to know. Out of the mouths of babes. It's very interesting that this psalm begins with what the scholarship has called a construction that is unclear. And then for the next few verses, it sort of works through this God who creates all of the world and all of creation, sort of giving glory to the God, the artistry and the majesty of the God who creates. And then in verse 6, it turns. It's sort of recalling the initial stories in Genesis. It turns, and it says that humanity shares in, it says dominion is the word. And this dominion is not a dominion over, it's a dominion within and throughout. It says that humanity shares in dominion of creation with God. It's absolutely incredible that this psalm moves from an unclear place to a place of participation. And for me, I think this is true throughout much of our scriptures, for me what this psalm is suggesting, here we are, Trinity Sunday, the great mystery of our faith, three in one and one and three. What this psalm is suggesting is that comprehension is not required for participation. It's not. A mastery of the subject does not precede a participation in the work. Yeah. I find this to be helpful really in a number of ways. But this is what Trinity does. This is what Trinity always, and by Trinity, this is what our God does. Our God is always inviting in, always inviting for our shared work in the process. The thing is open. This is what I imagine. I probably either internalized or inherited a religion when I was young that said in the morning you need to get up and you need to pray and you need to read your Bible, and if you don't, you've disrupted the heart of God, and it elicited a lot of shame in my spirit and in my soul. I think in the mornings when we wake up and God sees beloved children created in the image of God, I think God sees you and says, what do you want to do today? What do you want to make today? What do you want to try today? I think experimentation is a fabulous word for our faith, and it predates, it precludes all sort of rational and reasonable mastery of the material. This is what God says. What do you want to make today? What do you want to do today? And I think God says this to us as individuals, and here we are in worship, and maybe the Spirit of God is whispering, church, what do you want to do together this week? How might we, church, be a little bit more faithful to the mystery and to the majesty this week? If the very mystery of God is a river, I think we're invited into the river. Natalia Cherry is a United Methodist scholar. She's written a book a few months ago, and I read it. I thought it was incredible, and I wanted to share a central idea in her work. And she has traced back through the creeds of our faith. She is traced back through the sermons of Augustine and Augustine, which is impressive to do both. And in just a little bit, as we gather around the table celebrating the mystery of God, in just a little bit, what we will do as a congregation, we will celebrate the Nicene Creed, which is a statement of faith that the church has celebrated since throughout the fourth century, in these early days in which the church was efforting to sort of name its center, to name its core values. And so this creed, this statement of faith, has sort of been a center point in worship for churches for 1,700 years. And as you well know, Baptists do not prescribe to any creeds. Baptists do not prescribe to any statements of faith. However, we do celebrate them. These are resources for our worship and for our unity. And so in just a little bit, we will celebrate by reading the Nicene Creed together. And through this creed, as you well know, there are these core statements. We believe in God. The eternal, the creator. We believe in the Redeemer, Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in the one unified body of Christ known as the church. And the construction is very clear, particularly here in English. We believe in. And what the scholar Cherry has suggested is that the Latin construction, particularly for this word in, and it's always the little words, right? And she suggests a better translation for this word in, suggesting that the word is better translated into. We believe into God the Creator. We believe into Christ the Redeemer. We believe into the Holy Spirit, present here, now, and forever. We believe into, you're welcomed into the body of Christ. And listen, I have no Latin skills other than that which pertains to pig. And so I do appreciate this theory. Now, in Greek, the preposition eis, which is sometimes translated in, is also sometimes translated into. But if God is a river, right, we aren't invited to believe in the river and stand on the shore. We're invited into the waters, into the flow, into the current. There's a story from 2016, and you may be familiar with this as it was somewhat viral. In 2016, a young man in Phoenix, Arizona, whose family was his family was dysfunctional, as is your family is dysfunctional. And his family was sort of divided by geography and divorce and various relationship divisions. And so particularly around the holiday season, this young man was reminded of just how hard it is to be a family, just how hard it is to be people related to other people. And so often around the holiday season, he found himself picking up extra shifts. He told himself earlier in his life that he did so to encourage others to go and be with their families. I think after doing some work, he admitted that he used to pick up shifts to probably avoid trying to reconcile with his family. And lo and behold, as the holiday season approached, he received a text message from a phone number that he didn't recognize, which wasn't uncommon, as several in his family often changed phone numbers for various reasons. But the text message was an invitation to come to our new home at this address and celebrate Thanksgiving with us this November. Sign, Granny. Aren't grannies the best, by the way? And so this young man, Jamal, he made a plan to travel. He coordinated a way to stop by and pick up a pie and head towards Granny's house for Thanksgiving. However, after this, Granny had sent an invitation to grandson She encountered her grandson that following week. And Granny had said to her grandson, "Hey, you never responded to my text. Are you coming to our home, our new home for Thanksgiving?" And grandson said, you never sent me a text. And Granny said, "Well, I'm a granny and I know how to text, you know." And so then they discover that Granny had sent a text to an individual with the phone number exactly the same, except for one digit was off. And so Granny had sent an invitation to her home with her address and her new phone number to a complete stranger to join them for Thanksgiving. And so the family, the real grandson said, "Of course, I'm coming to Thanksgiving." And the family sort of debated, "What should we do?" And this family was a real Christian family. They had seen Seinfeld. And so they knew, like, it's not good to uninvite somebody. An uninvitation is a cardinal sin. So they just waited to see what happened. Wanda Dench was the grandmother's name. And lo and behold, on Thanksgiving morning, there was a knock on her door after all of her family had already arrived. And Wanda, Granny, opened the door, and there was Jamal. And Jamal was surprised, but not all that surprised. He knew that his family relations were kind of crazy. He didn't know what he was getting into. And so Wanda opened the door, and Jamal said, "I'm so sorry. I thought I might have the wrong address. Here's a pie. Happy Thanksgiving." And of course, Granny said, "Get inside this house." And Jamal said later, after sharing Thanksgiving with his family, he said, I wasn't all that surprised when Granny welcomed me into her home. That's what grannies do. I was surprised that as I turned the corner and saw the dining room table, all of the family was sitting there at the table in their place, and there was a place that had been set for me in the event that I were to arrive. We are welcomed into this thing. The poet Rumi, 13th century Persian poet, not Trinitarian, but the poet Rumi says it this way: out beyond our ideas of wrongdoing and right doing, out beyond our ideas of right thinking and wrong thinking, there is a field, and I will meet you there. And when the soul lies down in that grass, the world will be too full to talk about. Our ideas, our language, our concept of self will fade into the distance. Which sort of reminds me of this field out beyond our ideas of right doing and wrong doing. This field in which the voice says, "I will meet you there," it sort of reminds me of the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. The Lord lets me down in green pastures. The Lord leads me beside still waters. The Lord restores my soul, and I don't have to understand, and that's all I need to know. Let's pray together. You are Creator. You are Christ. You are Holy Spirit. You are good. You are grace. You are eternal. And you are here. Thank you. Bless you. Amen. I invite you to stand as we continue to worship.
Would you pray with me? And I truly ask that you pray with me this morning. Please raise your own silent prayer in only way that you know to do, to encourage God to make you a participating member in every area of this church. Heavenly Father, I call this congregation to be an example in this community of the love you have for those in this community. First, I should express, though, for your gift to us of the blessing of rainfall. We beg for mercy, and you have provided. Now make us mindful of the other needs of those around us, needs that we can provide to our fellow man, those in Ukraine, Uvalde, and in our neighbor next door. In particular, we feel called that this entire nation is called to respond with grief to those in Uvalde, to the people over to Ukraine, and in every similar instance of mindless inhumanity with blood spilled over innocent souls everywhere in this world. Make each of us an instrument of both prevention and of healing. Make us each an example of your will, and help us to see ourselves individually and as a congregation as necessary to the financial success of our shared goal of service to the world. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
We prepare our hearts and our bodies to receive the table of Christ. I invite you to join with me as a congregation as we celebrate these sacred words of the church. We believe in one God, the Creator, the Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Redeemer, Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
there has been a place at the table set for you. There has been a place at the table set for all. This is the Lord's table, and we invite you to share in the table of Christ, who took the bread and broke it and shared it, saying, "This represents my body, not just broken, but also risen." When you receive this, do so in remembrance of Christ. Likewise, after the meal, Christ took a cup and he shared it with his students, his brothers, his friends. And he said, "This is a cup of promise, of new life. Receive this and receive the new promises, the new life of Christ." I want to thank our deacons for setting this table as well as serving us today. We invite all to come forward and receive.
Thank you. stand together and let's pass the peace of Christ to one another.
Ended, and now we are invited into the service of worship. Go in peace.